You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
We're going now to a story that I'm really excited about. Long-time listeners will know that I love reporting on some more artsy stories, reporting on shows and sort of what the messages behind it is. But this is actually a profile of a new artist who's getting involved in producing and releasing in time for Music Month, the first ever locked down one. Her name is Hina, and we talked all about deciding to embark on creative professions in Aotearoa and the importance of funding wānanga to foster these opportunities all year long.
Let's start by talking about the meaning of Hina and why you decided to go by that when you're making music.
Well, I've always had kind of this makes me sound like a bit of a weirdo, but I've always felt really like connected to the moon in terms of like how it affects, well, I guess it's like intimately connected with women's, do I say that on the radio, menstrual cycle, which is like quite a, I don't know, it's quite a special thing. Like in Te Ao Māori, it's called Awa Atua, I hope I got that right, but it's like the river that connects us all and connects us to the gods, and like the moon sort of governs that. So I was thinking about a name for ages, and I just couldn't decide on it. And then I was like, maybe I should just use Amy. And then I was like, kind of want some pseudo anonymity. So yeah, chose Hina as like sort of like it's personification of the moon, I suppose, that's known throughout Polynesia. So it gives me that local flavor,
which yeah
kind of wanted to go for.
You took part in a web series on Māori television profiling a group of rangatahi who were learning about making music professionally. Was that kind of process like wider than just the music itself, you know, the art that accompanies the music that you make and all of that? And how much did it sort of influence your decision to name yourself Hina?
It actually influenced it a lot. It's interesting you bring that up, because it's probably like I've sort of been getting to know my place within Te Ao Māori over the course of maybe 5 or 6 years, because obviously grew up in like a predominantly Pākehā world. But yeah, so that kind of made me, well, it was like the push that I guess I needed to actually consider doing music seriously rather than just like bumming around in my bedroom, which I still do anyway, but like with more purpose now. So it kind of felt right to incorporate a Māori name, given that it was like a Māori launching platform, if that makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, no, that was, yeah, Papapa was so fun. It was like we did heaps more than, well, it felt like we did heaps more than just focus on music. Like we had 4 wānanga and just like learned about the business side of it, learned about how we sort of just relate to each other as people as well, like trying to write songs together and you suddenly, you know, come across a part of yourself that you're like, holy shit, do I share this with people or do I just like cry about it in the bathroom? Yeah, it was a like really, to use your word, holistic learning process.
I have also found ways in which when you're part of a cohesive like resource or organ that is comprised of other people, you start to think in terms of them and what you're putting out, as opposed to thinking in terms of yourself. Do you think that that process was kind of important in your decision to start producing and releasing music this year?
Yeah, definitely, because when you feel like you're part of a community, you feel like you're just contributing to that community, and it sort of feels a bit safer in a way, like you've got like a net. Yeah, so it's like when I chuck something up on Instagram, I'm not like, oh my God, the world's looking at me. But I'm just like, oh, like my mates can check this out, who actually, sort of went along the, I hate using the word journey because it's so overused, but like a musical journey for them. Like, yeah. So it feels a bit more supported.
Yeah, yeah. And on that note about community, I wonder what New Zealand Music Month means to you, both in terms of this year when we probably need community more than ever, but just also as a legacy that we always knew about growing up.
So for New Zealand Music Month, I guess it feels a bit more poignant this year, I think, just because at least in terms of gigs and stuff, there's, well, we can't go to any. And then for the foreseeable future, I guess no one can really come to New Zealand either. So it's sort of like a different type of celebration. Like even the Tate Music Prize was like online last night. It's kind of shown how the music industry can adapt. Like I don't actually know much about other creative industries, but I've been getting so many emails from like creative NZ industries and like MMF, like the Music Managers Forum and stuff, being like, this is all the support we can give you, this is what we can do to help. And it's just like, whoa, dude, that's awesome.
So on a wider note about COVID-19, you know, Arahui definitely, I'm guessing, wasn't the environment that you anticipated you'd be releasing your first EP into. Has it changed your production or wider approach to your EP and first debut at all?
Well, it's had a mixed effect. So I've been able to uni and work and stuff. I'm just like at home. So I've had loads of time to have Zoom meetings with various people in the industry who have been able to give me advice and stuff. And I just feel like that's been really awesome to have technology at my fingertips to just chat with people whenever. Because I feel like sometimes having to find parks in Auckland is deterring enough as to like, you know, meeting with people. But in terms of output, it feels a bit strange only because I haven't released anything ever. So it's like I'm putting it out into this, to the ears of people I hope are still listening and haven't just like totally gotten sick of the internet and listening to new music that everyone seems to be releasing at the moment.
Fingers crossed. And it is sort of a mixed experience being part of the Arahui and whatever form that takes, but it has given rise to new ideas like E Noho, which was the live stream music show. It was made by Ed Walker, wasn't it?
Yes.
And you performed on that. So I wondered, sometimes, you know, big shifts such as this can be kind of important refreshers for things like New Zealand Music Month, like we've talked about. Did E Noho feel like that at all when you took part?
Yeah, it certainly was different from a live gig because obviously it was just like me and Ed on, I can't remember what it was actually called, the platform, but it was basically like Zoom. So I was like, I was just performing to him and I couldn't actually see any of the like comments or reactions on Facebook. But it felt really, it was a positive experience overall, like despite not being able to, I guess, get out there physically and gig, it's a pretty special little thing he's pulled together, which is, yeah, it was so cool to be a part of.
Shout out where we'll be able to find your music when it is out in just over a month.
My music will be available on Spotify and Apple Music and possibly some other platforms. So at Hina Beaming, H-I-N-A, is my Instagram online party that I'm having by myself.
Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
That was Hina telling me about being a new artist during a lockdown New Zealand Music Month. She's always been a special wahine to me throughout my life, so I'm really excited to hear her release more things. And I do recommend that you keep your ears peeled. But now,
that was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.